We're trying something new here at Tennis Abides. This is Dan Martin. I'm the owner and creator of this website, and I'm going to do a little audio commentary and see how that works with the site. This is the end of the year in 2014. I would categorize anything that happens after the U.S. Open to be the end of the tennis season, and this is not a time of year that I find it very easy to get excited about. I do know that the growth of the sport in markets such as China and Japan is incredibly important strategically, and certainly the event in Paris has a tremendous amount of prestige and history behind it. But it always strikes me that this time of the year is kind of a chance for players to improve their ranking, pull in some prize money, and maybe jockey a little bit for the Australian Open seeding. But I think a lot of it is not quite as climactic as the season that starts in Melbourne and more or less ends in New York, that Grand Slam season and all the things that lead into each of the Grand Slams. But this end of the year is pretty interesting because you have any number of players who are competing for those final few spots for the World Tour Finals. And so, Andy Murray, who had been a fixture there, he's making some moves and trying to get into that one of those top eight slots. He's playing this week. He'll be playing, I would assume quite a bit between now and the end of the event in Paris. And, same can be said for David Ferrer. Tomas Berdych is playing quite a bit. Milos Raonic, unfortunately, after being so consistent in the Masters Series events this year and winning DC and getting to the semifinal round at Wimbledon, quarterfinal round at the French Open, he had a bit of an injury in Shanghai and then lost first round this week. So his path to the final eight is looking quite a bit tougher than it looked, say at the end of the event in Washington DC. He also reached the semifinal round in Cincinnati. But the thing that has also pushed him down the path, pushed him into a harder spot to reach the final eight, is Marin Cilic. Marin Cilic did not look like a guy who was going to finish in the top eight, even though he had a very good Wimbledon. He'd had a very good year to this point, to the point leading into New York. But then in New York, he took on a whole new life. And so Marin Cilic is going to probably finish in the top eight. And either way, I think he's going to get in. I'm not exactly sure how they treat Grand Slam winners, but when the Grand Slam Cup and the ATP World Tour Finals merge to create the Masters Cup, which is now the World Tour Finals, I think Grand Slam champions were given quite a bit of preference in reaching that final eight status. So, his rise along with Raonic's injury make his finish quite a bit trickier. And Grigor Dimitrov as well as Ernest Gulbis, they're both playing this week. I don't think either one of them is going to get there, but if they win this event, that's 250 points toward their race total. And then, let's see what happens in the few remaining events after this week. The other thing about this end of the year that's a new wrinkle is that Stanislas Wawrinka won the Australian Open this year, played well at Wimbledon in the U.S. Open, won Monte Carlo. And so Roger Federer has another top five player with him in Switzerland. Has a chance, although they're on the road, and France has a very deep team. And, we saw how good Gilles Simon is in Shanghai, and we know that Joe Willie Songa beat Federer pretty handily in Toronto, beat him at the 2013 French Open pretty handily as well. In France, I think that Switzerland's got an uphill battle, but certainly it's big for Federer because it's one of the few things on his resume that he hasn't completed. And it's big for Wawrinka, who has an Olympic gold medal in doubles from 2008. He has the 2014 Australian Open singles title. But if Wawrinka were to add a Davis Cup title, he wouldn't be at a point where you could say he's going to be in the International Tennis Hall of Fame, but he would be building a resume that if one or two more things broke his way, he would certainly get admitted. If he could win another Grand Slam or even reach one or two more Grand Slam finals, if you have a Davis Cup title and a gold medal, you never know how that stuff's going to work out. Certainly, Yevgeny Kafelnikov might say, hey, I've got a gold medal, two Grand Slam titles, and a Grand Slam runner-up, and I'm not in. But, Wawrinka could really add a lot to his legacy with this Davis Cup for Switzerland as well. And then the last thing I want to mention is that Rafael Nadal, it's kind of a curious case for me that he's not opting to have his appendectomy now and giving himself a few extra weeks of recovery time so that he can be as prepared as possible for the Australian Open. Any surgery, no matter how routine, can have a unexpected twist or turn in the recovery process. And I think the Australian Open is far more prestigious in 2015 than what the World Tour Finals is in 2014 or 2015. There may have been a time when the Masters in New York was much bigger than the Australian Open in Sydney. But right now, I think any Grand Slam title, especially when you're sitting there at 14 and Federer's at 17, is more prestigious than a Tour Final. The World Tour Final is very prestigious. Rafa has never won it before. He has won the Australian Open before. But I would say if I were Rafa or his team, I'd want to pull the plug on this year, get the surgery done in the best circumstance for it to happen, then give Rafa, if I was on his team, I'd say give yourself that much more time to recover and be sure that you're fully recovered before the Australian Open starts, especially given that Nadal has not looked all that strong in either Beijing or Shanghai. He's had some losses that you would not expect out of him, and that's one thing in his career. He's almost universally beaten the players he's supposed to beat when he's healthy. And these two losses tell me he's probably not healthy, and if he's not healthy, go ahead and shut it down for the year and get healthy for 2015. That would be, to my mind, the proper course of action. But Rafa is sticking with his commitments to the various tournaments he's playing in 2014 to close out the year, and we'll see how that goes. It could set him up really nicely, especially if he wins the World Tour Final, to head into 2015 with some momentum, or perhaps it delays his recovery and sets him in a spot where we're not going to see Rafael Nadal fully healthy until sometime later in 2015. Who knows? But my last point is, I think Novak Djokovic is almost certainly going to finish this year ranked number one. His title in Beijing, semifinal finish in Shanghai, semifinal finish at the U.S. Open, those were all good enough. I mean, the Beijing title was very good, and he destroyed Tomas Berdych in the final. But, I think Novak has done just enough since Wimbledon to kind of separate himself from the pack for the whole year. Certainly since Wimbledon, he's not the best player on tour. But if you look at from January till now, you'd have to give Novak that nod. And I think he's going to finish yet another year number one. And, Australian Open suits him awfully well. If he could start 2015 with an Australian Open title, get to that eighth major, certainly big things could be in the offing for him next year. But it's hard to really predict great things just yet based on that form he's shown since Wimbledon. I think he was so impacted by some of these near misses at Grand Slams, whether it was tight semifinal losses or losses in the championship round, that winning Wimbledon, he maybe needed to decompress a little bit afterward, and hopefully he will be in top form for 2015. That's all I've got for now. I'll be back with you soon. Have a good one.